Welcome to the deep dive. This is where we really get into the sources you share with us, take them apart, and see what's really going on. Today, it's all about plastic pollution. A huge topic, obviously. You sent over some, frankly, quite eye-opening materials focused in on one specific technology, D2W biodegradable plastic. So our mission today is to unpack all of that. Look at the science, the controversies, the potential impact. Let's just dive right in. You know, when we talk about plastic pollution, it's just it feels enormous, right? Almost overwhelming. And your sources really hammer this home. There's no simple fix, no single magic bullet for plastic that, you know, gets out into the environment. Recycling helps. Of course it does. It's crucial. But it's not catching everything. And it probably won't, not in the near future anyway. I mean, look at Switzerland. We think of them as super efficient, right? Meticulous with waste. Yet about 14,000 tons of plastic still end up in their soil and water every single year. 14,000 tons.
I don't know.
Wow. And it's mostly from things like abrasion stuff wearing down or just people not disposing of things properly.
The real kicker is that normal plastic just sits there. It degrades so, so slowly. Centuries, sometimes.
It really is striking. Even with the best systems, plastic leaks out, which brings up a really important question. Okay, so what do we do about the plastic that inevitably ends up where it shouldn't, despite our best intentions?
Exactly. And that's where a solution like D2W biodegradable plastic starts to sound, well, pretty interesting. What seems innovative is that it tackles the problem right down at the molecular level. It's not just about breaking into smaller pieces, which is, you know, a really critical point we need to keep coming back to.
Right, not just fragmentation.
No. It actually dismantles the polymer chains. It changes the material itself, so it stops being a plastic and turns into something biodegradable, something that bacteria and fungi can actually consume. It gets cleaned out of the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just theory. It's used in, like, everyday packaging, things made from polyethylene, polypropylene, even useful in farming, apparently.
So connecting this to the bigger picture, it's not just making plastic vanish, it's fundamentally re-engineering its chemical makeup so nature can actually process it, take it back into the cycle.
Okay, but here's where it gets messy, and your sources really highlight this. There's a lot of confusion, even at high levels like the European Parliament, apparently. People mix up D2W technology with something called oxo-degradation.
Yes, the classic confusion.
It's a really crucial difference, isn't it? And honestly, seems to be the root of a lot of misunderstanding. So let's try and pin down oxo-degradation first. Imagine like a regular plastic bag left outside.
Yeah.
Sun, air. It'll oxidize, sure. You'll get brittle and break up.
But into what?
Exactly. Into tiny, tiny bits of plastic. Microplastics. Still plastic. Just invisible almost. And those bits don't really biodegrade properly for a very, very long time.
And it's key to note, as the sources say, no one actually markets additives as oxo-degradable anyway. That term describes what happens to ordinary plastic over time.
Right. Now, compare that with D2W biodegradation. The definition is degradation resulting from oxidative and cell-mediated phenomena, either simultaneously or successively. Bit technical, but
it's basically a two-step process.
Yeah. First, oxygen breaks it down, chemically alters it, like metal rusting, sort of. But then, and this is the key part, the fragments are no longer plastic. They're small enough and different enough chemically
that bacteria and fungi can actually eat them.
Right. They consume them, turn them back into basics. CO2, water, biomass, gone.
It's a transformation, not just fragmentation.
So why is this mix-up so common? And what's the damage?
Well, the sources argue pretty strongly that confusing these things isn't just semantics. It actually gets in the way of adopting D2W more widely, which means we keep using conventional plastic for things likely to end up as litter.
And that plastic just piles up for decades instead of using something that would biodegrade relatively quickly if it escaped.
Exactly. It seems like a massive missed opportunity if we can't get the distinction straight.
That's a really strong point. Okay, let's tackle some common questions about D2W, because the sources cover a lot of practical stuff, a lot of misconceptions. First off, its purpose. It's not meant to end up in nature, right?
No, absolutely not. Like any plastic, the ideal path is use, maybe reuse, then recycle, then proper disposal.
But it's positioned as sort of the only way to stop plastic building up for decades if it does get out there. Accidentally, or you know, deliberately littered.
It's like a safety net.
Yeah.
And it biodegrades in landfill too, apparently, though that's not the primary goal either.
Okay. And does it need special conditions? Like, does it need a hot compost heap or something?
No, that's another key difference. It just needs oxygen. Heat and UV light speed things up, sure, but they aren't essential. Moisture isn't needed either.
So totally different from those compostable plastics that often need really specific industrial setups.
Right. Different technology, different purpose.
And labeling. Do you need a special label?
Nope. No need to label it as biodegradable.
And crucially,
yeah,
recycling. Can D2W plastic actually be recycled? Can you make it from recycled plastic?
Yes, and yes. It can be recycled along with conventional plastics, and it can be made using recycled.
And this isn't just lab talk. It's been used for 25 years.
Apparently so. And that Grupo Bimbo example is fascinating. Biggest bread maker in the West.
Yeah, using it for bread bags for 15 years. And they actively recycle it. No problems reported.
That's quite something. It suggests it can integrate pretty seamlessly.
It does, doesn't it? It sort of challenges the idea that solutions have to mean big changes for consumers or infrastructure. It seems designed to just work in the background.
And behind this practical application, there's a lot of science, a really deep history, actually. This D2W type of biodegradable plastic, it's been studied for, what, over 50 years?
50 years?
Yeah, this wasn't cooked up by marketers. It came from serious polymer scientists back in the 70s. Professor Gerald Scott, for instance. You can find this stuff discussed in his academic textbooks. It's established science.
Okay, so established science.
Uh-huh.
What about specific studies? Any standouts?
Well, there's that French government-sponsored study. In a marine lab, they found D2W type plastics biodegraded in seawater much more effectively than normal plastics. And they specifically noted that the oxidation level was found to be of crucial importance.
Right, that oxidative first step.
Exactly. And your sources mentioned there are 6 peer-reviewed papers backing this up. Plus, you've got standard tests from independent labs. Intertech finding 95.05% biodegradation. Eurofins finding 88.9%. These are high numbers. Mm-hmm. Even the American National Standards Institute, ANSI, weighed in. They said this tech can prevent future contributions to the accumulation of plastic waste. And it's a solution for litter because it's recyclable and degrades without releasing methane.
So the science seems pretty robust. What about standards? How do you test this properly?
Ah, standards. Always important. There's a specific international standard, ASTM D6954. It's designed precisely for plastics that degrade via that combination then biodegradation.
Okay.
And it's not just an American thing. It's been replicated globally. UK, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, they have equivalent standards.
And wasn't there a point about lab tests versus reality?
Yes, Dr. Graham Swift, who helped write the standard, clarified that. He pointed out that while lab tests are controlled, the actual degradation and biodegradation are likely to happen even faster out in the real world with all its dynamic conditions.
That makes sense.
And it's vital to distinguish ASTM D6954 from composting standards like ASTM D6400. D6954 doesn't demand field or ocean testing per se, because the lab methods are designed to simulate those environments. But crucially, it does require ecotoxicity testing to make sure the breakdown products are safe.
Right, safety first. Okay, so solid science, established standards. You'd think adoption would be straightforward, but the regulatory side... Wow, that's been a journey, hasn't it, according to these sources?
That's still wildly.
But there's been a huge, very recent development. June 20th, 2025. Symphony's DTW technology got official approval from the EPA in Ireland.
Ireland, an EU member state. That's significant.
Hugely. The EPA explicitly stated D2W products do not fall within the scope of Directive EU 2019-904.
That's the directive that restricted some plastics over microplastic concerns.
Exactly. And the Irish EPA confirmed it's been scientifically demonstrated to undergo full biodegradation without leaving behind persistent microplastics or toxic residues. Pretty clear language.
Very clear. But it wasn't an easy path to that point, was it?
Not at all. Symphony actually took the EU to court over that directive 2019-904 in Luxembourg. They argued the confusion caused by the directive hurt their business and they wanted compensation.
And in the outcome?
The court said no compensation. They ruled the legislators hadn't sort of overstepped their bounds, but the case brought out some serious concerns. Like, it seemed the legislators hadn't followed normal procedures, the RECH regulation for chemicals, no proper environmental impact analysis, no socioeconomic analysis.
And they shut down a study.
Yeah, they apparently terminated a study by the European Chemicals Agency, ECHA. And this was after ECHA had already stated back in October 2018 that they were not convinced microplastics were formed by this technology.
Wow. So the commission seemingly stopped the study when it looked like ECHA wouldn't give them the answer they wanted.
That's certainly what the sources imply. It paints a picture of, well, a complex regulatory battle.
It really highlights the friction that can happen, doesn't it, between new science, new tech, and existing regulations or maybe political aims. It shows how difficult it can be for innovative solutions to navigate the system, even if the science is strong.
Definitely. And despite that recent win in Ireland and the science, D2W still faces criticism. Your sources mention the Ellen MacArthur Foundation paper from 2017, the EMF paper.
Right, that one caused quite a stir.
It did, although, interestingly, they had to amend it in 2019 after complaints about accuracy. And critics, like the BPA, that's the Biodegradable Plastics Association, pointed out that the paper was pushed really hard by groups backing competing bioplastic technologies.
Potential conflicts of interest there.
And that some groups endorsing it actually made the kinds of products that often end up as litter anyway.
Interesting contact.
A major scientific rebuttal came from Professor Ignacy Jakubowicz, described as a leading polymer scientist. He flat out rejected the EMF conclusion, stressing again that D2W degradation is a change into something microbes can assimilate, not just breaking into bits.
Which brings us back to the quality of research. How can studies get it wrong? Your sources actually list common fundamental errors found in studies claiming the technology doesn't work. It's quite revealing.
Like what?
Things like, well, simply not following the correct standard, ASTM D6954, or any standard at all, or using the wrong standard, like one for industrial composting, ASTM D6400 or EN13432, apples and oranges.
Right.
Not properly analyzing the sample, was the D2W additive actually in there at the right concentration? Not running the tests long enough to see the full process?
Yeah.
Using plastic samples that were heavily stabilized, something you'd never do for a real D2W product designed to degrade.
Right, that would make sense.
Misunderstanding the product's intended lifespan or how it's meant to be reused first. And a big one, testing under unrealistic conditions, like burying samples deep underground or keeping them constantly submerged in water. That's not how most litter behaves. It's usually on the surface, exposed to oxygen and UV.
So bad methodology leads to bad conclusions, which can then mislead policymakers.
Precisely. It really underscores how critical proper scientific process is.
Okay, another point of confusion you mentioned, composting. Let's clear that up. The sources are very clear. D2W plastics are not designed for industrial composting under those specific standards, like ASTM D6400 or EN13432.
Right. So they don't meet the typically 180-day breakdown requirement for those systems.
But that doesn't mean they can't be composted at all.
Correct. They can apparently be composted effectively in what's called an in-vessel composting process. And they've been proven compostable in some actual facilities and labs using a different standard, ISO 15855.
So it's different from compostable plastics. Those are designed specifically for industrial composting.
And they tend to break down mainly into CO2 gas within that 180-day window.
Which helps the composter, but maybe not the climate so much, compared to building soil biomass.
It's just different technologies for different end-of-life scenarios. Mm-hmm. Using the right terms matters. Lumping biodegradable all together just muddies the water.
Absolutely. Precision is key. Okay, let's wrap this up by looking at some pretty powerful legal endorsements mentioned in the sources.
Yes, this is striking.
Lord Justice Jackson, a high court judge, years of weighing expert evidence, he called the scientific case for D2W clear and compelling.
High praise from that kind of source.
And then Peter Sussman, KC, a King's Counsel lawyer, he wrote a detailed 15-page opinion. He said, quote, "It is no longer tenable to conclude that there is no firm evidence either way whether it is effective."
So basically saying the evidence is now decisive.
Yes. He found clear and compelling evidence that it is indeed effective in facilitating very significantly speedier degradation.
Wow.
And he also tackled that idea about encouraging littering, called it fanciful and unreasonable.
That's quite a strong rejection of that argument.
It really is. It feels like, you know, the legal heavyweights looked at the science and found it convincing.
It certainly seems that way. A real convergence between the scientific findings and thorough legal assessment. It provides a strong counter-narrative to all the confusion and regulatory hurdles we discussed earlier. It suggests that, you know, despite the noise and debate, rigorous scrutiny can lead to clear conclusions.
So let's recap this deep dive. We looked at the sheer scale of plastic pollution. We explored D2W's specific molecular approach, changing the plastic, not just breaking it. We stressed that crucial difference between D2W biodegradation and simple oxo-degradation. We saw the decades of science, the specific standards.
Mm-hmm. The testing, the recent regulatory approval in Ireland.
The legal battles, the criticisms and rebuttals, and finally these strong legal endorsements. The takeaway seems to be that while we absolutely need to reduce, reuse, and recycle, D2W offers a scientifically validated safety net for the plastic that does inevitably escape, preventing it from polluting for decades.
Absolutely. This whole exploration of D2W offers, I think, a really fascinating glimpse into how material science, environmental policy, and public perception all interact. It's complex. And it leaves us, and maybe you listening, with a question to ponder. As we keep searching for ways to fight pollution, how do we make sure that genuinely effective solutions, solutions with solid science behind them, can actually cut through all the noise, the confusion, the politics, and get accepted and used, especially when the environmental stakes are just so incredibly high?